Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
It's kind of rough being a Michigan fan right now. Hey, let me pray for us and we'll get going. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we love you. And we give you all the praise. Help us to sing out. Just in faith and joy, because you're good. And this is when we come together as a family to sing about your goodness. We got one reason to exist, and that's because you want us here and you're good. And so we give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. I want everybody to stand with us. I hope you've all had a great Thanksgiving. We're spending this time giving thanks to Jesus for what he has done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Isn't that good? It's been good already. Nottage class, y'all ready? Ready. Break. Here they go. Y'all check out these youngins when they go by. Some good looking youngins. We're continuing on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Is it hot? Are y'all hot? Okay. We get somebody to turn on a little air. Here we go. Mr. Bill's on it. And we're going to continue on in 1 Corinthians 15. I didn't talk to the band. I'll never talk to the band about, hey, sing this. I might next week. But anyway, because that Forever song about the resurrection is just going to be right on target. But this, God picks the songs, I'm convinced of. I think, you know, Kim may track where I'm going in my series, but this was a perfect group of songs for the message today. And I'm just always inspired when I hear the set that God picks out, and I know the message that God has, and I go, thank you, God, you did those things. And so that's just a blessing that I want to let you all in on. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 34 is what we're going to do. But before I read it, I do want you to think about some stories that we're probably all familiar with, stories that we tell, you know, kiddos that you hear when you was a kid. I want you to think about there's this little train engine, you know, and he had a big hill to get up, you know, and so he tried to get up that hill, but he couldn't, and he come back down, And then he tried to get up that hill again. But he couldn't. And so he come back down. But then he started thinking positively. Remember that story? What he started saying? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And he just started chugging up that hill. So I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And I don't really know how the rest of the story goes, but I think he did. You know, eventually he got up to the top of the hill until the rain came and washed it. Wait a minute. That's a little itsy bitsy spider that climbed up the spot. But then came the rain and what? But out came the sun and rain and itsy bitsy spider. Yeah, you know, we tell stories like this. They're cool. They're fun. They're easy for us to grasp. As far as, hey, you need to think positive about some things. Hey, if you get knocked down because of the rain, don't you worry. That's going to change. It's going to dry up and you'll be able to make it up there again. And if you just think positively about getting over all those hills in your life, you'll be able to. You know, in our minds, we don't think that there's really some train. You know, anybody's kids besides mine getting a Thomas the Train things? Man, I'm telling you. Yeah, I watched all those things. Where's Josh? Yeah. Still has Thomas the Train jammies and stuff. Now I'm going to pay for that one later. No, but, you know, we watched all these things. Nobody, when we tell those stories, nobody's actually thinking that there's a train somewhere trying to get up this hill and saying to itself, I think I can, I think I can. I'm sorry, I done ruined it. Some of y'all might need to close your ears on this one. I'm not going into any other stories, but point is, those are stories to try to encourage us. They're based on principles. They're not based on facts. They're just cute illustrations. We're coming on this part in the Word of God where the Corinthian church had some folks in it who said the resurrection of Jesus Christ is really just a cute illustration and not a fact. And when the Apostle Paul is writing this, I want you to kind of sense that he comes down like a bear trap, like boom, and saying, you don't know how wrong and dangerous that kind of thinking is for the church. Y'all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is no cute illustration to let us know that anything is possible. This is no Disneyland storybook ending that just says, never give up hope. Even the worst case scenario can be handled because, you know, we have this cutesy story about this radical rabbi who died for us and rose again. Can I tell you, it's not a cute little story. It's not a myth. It's not a Mother Goose tale. The resurrection of Jesus Christ happened. He's alive. Now, I can't reach out and show you the video. I can't show you the pictures. But I'm going to stand here and tell you that by my faith, I believe this to be the truth, that the Word of God proclaims it to be the truth, and I believe that God is a truth teller, not a liar. And the fact that I'm changed required more than a story. You know, I heard all the Mother Goose rhymes and things. I know about the hare and the tortoise and the hare. You know, the one that just keeps on trucking. And I kind of relate to the tortoise one. You know what I mean? Just kind of slow and sure wins the race. I've heard all these legends. I've heard all the stories. My life wasn't no different. But when I came to have an experience with the living Lord Jesus Christ, I was changed. So I might not can show you the video, but I can give you the testimony. And I can show you in my life how He has made a difference in me. So hear this, hear the scripture, and understand that Paul is dealing with some folks who had just, they're trying to water down. They're trying to say the resurrection is just a good story, or it just happened spiritually. You know, it wasn't that He rose from the dead, it's like He spiritually just kind of rose. Doesn't that sound smarter? But can I tell you what it doesn't match with? It just doesn't match with the Word of God. The word resurrection is a compound word, and it just means to stand up. To stand up again. Takes the word stand and takes the word again and mashes them together, and that's what the word resurrection is. A spirit don't need to stand again. This is talking about somebody who was laid out in the grave, who physically stands up. Every time in this, when you hear the word resurrection, it's that word. Stand up again. Stand up again. He stood up again. He did get knocked down on the cross. He did die. But the Son of God stood up again. And when we put our faith in Him, I got news. I got good news. We're going to stand up again too. You understand what I'm saying? So hear this word and realize the importance of this teaching of the literal, factual resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But if He did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But, I love the big buts in the Bible, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits. Then when He comes to those who belong to Him, then the end will come when He hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after He has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For He has put everything under His feet. Now, when it is said everything has been put under Him, it is clear that this does not include God Himself, but who put everything under Christ. When He has done this, then the Son will be made subject to Him who put everything under Him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes? Just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I have fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. And I say this to your shame. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for who You are. You're all powerful. This whole creation is Yours. We're on Your plan. And there ain't nothing anybody can do or say to stop that. And part of that plan in bringing Christ, raising Him from the dead, that we might follow Him and that You might receive all the glory, that's going to happen. Help us, Lord, to be those who believe, who walk in that faith, and who proclaim it boldly. We love You, Lord, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Our faith is based on a fact. A lot of times in church and spirituality and religion and all these things, we get a little bit, we could spiritualize everything. We get a little bit about more about feelings and stuff like that. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ's resurrection happened. Y'all, it's not a hopeful, wishful analogy to something else. It's the reality of what happened. Y'all, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was never going to be able to stay dead. You understand what I'm saying? The darkness is never going to be the light. The forces of evil and all these things, and all the world, their plan is never going to come. All the powers and principalities and authorities cannot arm wrestle God down. They couldn't keep them down. Now if I wish I was dressed in black, I'd sing that Johnny Cash song. You know, he sang a song. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. He got that song from a guy named Clyde Ely, who was known as the Gospel Ranger. Clyde Ely was an evangelist that played rock and roll style music before rock and roll style music was invented. And Elvis Presley's mama and Johnny Cash's mama used to take them to see him when he'd do his tent revivals. And they think that's where they got their inspiration to play the guitar and things like they did. That's just a little, you know, weird tribute for church right now, okay? But the bottom line is, Clyde Ely was inspired to write that song when he was sick as a teenager. And they said, you're going to die and you ain't going to make it. He wrote this song because of his faith in Christ and said, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. And he was basing that on his faith because he followed Jesus. And there wasn't no grave going to hold his body down either. Y'all, this is not wishful thinking. Don't buy into the philosophy. We try to be really smart. We've done this with the idea of creation. Instead of saying, I just believe what the Bible said, that God said, let there be light, and there was light. We try to get all this other stuff and proof to say, well, it had to take this long, or it had to do this and that. I'm going to tell you something. God said it, and it happened. Amen. Y'all, you might say, well, John, you just seem dumb. It seems unscientific. Well, I can tell you something. These guys weren't there neither. And they can be wrong 100 million times. And then they come up with a new theory of how things were created or how things happened. But I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God has stayed the same. It's going to be the same. And when we find out at the end of it all, we're going to say, oh, there's just an almighty, powerful, wonderful, glorious God who spoke it into existence, and if I knew Him, I would have worshipped Him. Say, yeah, that's how it happened. At the end, in the very end of time, you know, the last bowl of wrath that is poured out on this creation, which is the last of a series of seven cataclysmic things that happened. The last thing that happens, all it is a word that comes from the throne of God that says, this is finished. And boom, it wraps up. The creation started with a word. It's going to end with a word. Because the Word of God is powerful. You know what I believe happened on that resurrection morning? Get back to our text. I believe Father God said, little boy lamb, rise up. Rise up. He rose up. And because Jesus Christ is alive, we have a Savior. We have a Lord. We have a faith that's based on something real. Y'all, again, I can't point you to the video. I can't show you the slides. But I can tell you, and people who've known me, they could tell you, I'm different. And what none of those fairy tales made me different. It was the living Lord Jesus Christ made me different. I've seen other people be made different by the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who I'm preaching. And I'm going to tell you something. None of those other fairy tales and things could do it. But He can do it. We got to get that straight in our head. Somebody might say, do you really? I've had people say this. Do you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? Do you really believe somebody came back to life? And I'm going to tell you something. I believe it. I've been to a lot of funerals and I ain't never seen it. But you know, there's a lot of things that I ain't seen that I still believe in. But I'm going to tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's top. Y'all, if we say, well, we got Christianity, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ, then you don't really got Christianity. You might say, I like the Bible, I like church, but I just don't believe all the stuff in there about Jesus rising from the dead. Then you don't really got it. This is the whole The whole point of our faith rests on this, that Christ is alive. Look what happens. Look what he says about a non-factual faith and a non-factual ministry. A ministry that's based on fairy tales and just well-wishing. He's going to give us a whole list here. He says, if Christ has not been raised, and he's going to tell us all kinds of things that would happen. If Christ, now notice the if. Don't y'all leave out of this church and say, that guy said Christ wasn't real. It says right there in the Bible, if Christ not, well, the if. Don't leave the if out. That's a big if. Okay? He's just trying to show us something. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, it says our preaching and your faith is useless. That's, again, it'd just be like believing in the story of the little engine that could. All you got to do is say, well, I'm going to think positive, and I'm going to think positive. Can I tell you, all the positivity you can muster ain't going to get you right with God. It's not going to get you in heaven, and it's not going to give you over to most of the weird stuff that's going to happen in your life. Man, we need a power bigger than ourselves. There's a whole program of recovery that is based on us not being able to handle our problems on our own, us needing a power greater than ourselves, who would and could if he were sought. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that. I believe it. All the well-wishing in the world ain't going to take an addict out of their addiction. But I know one who can, because he's alive. All the well-wishing in the world can't dig the roots of bitterness out of a heart that's been betrayed. But I know who can. See, our faith and our preaching aren't useless because it's based on a fact. It's based on a fact that Jesus Christ is alive. It's good stuff. It says, if Christ has not been raised, then we are false witnesses about God. If Christ hasn't been raised, then it's just a lie. You know what I almost said vexes me, you know, like old-fashioned. You know what vexes me? Feeling a little medieval today. You know what vexes my soul? Is that there are people who show up to church week by week, but they don't really believe. They show up to network. They show up to do, you know, because they were told they had to show up. You know, and for some of you youngins, you know, that's all right. You get there. But put your faith in Christ. But they show up for all kinds of reasons. But they're not really believing. Y'all, to me, I think if you show up in a New Testament church where the gospel is preached, but you don't really believe, it's almost like you're bearing a false witness. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't lie on anybody in this world, probably the only person worse than yourself to try to lie to is going to be trying to lie to and on God. You understand? You come here and we do symbols like the baptism. We just had baptism a couple weeks ago. What's that symbolize? It symbolizes that we believe Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead. And because of my faith in Him, I'm also going to die to an old way of life and rise to a new way of life like Christ. And it symbolizes that one day I'm going to die. Be buried, and yet be raised from the dead. Why do we do that if we don't really believe that Christ rose? If we don't really believe, why do the stupid symbols? I didn't grow up in church. Ain't none of this stuff makes sense if Christ isn't really alive. Why do we march down the roads and take a little shot glass of grape juice and a crusted piece of unleavened bread? You know unleavened bread ain't no good. Why do we do that? Ain't no need, you know, shoot. Man, we want that big old Hawaiian bread if we're going to do, you know, if we're going to make it up. And let's do shots of something that makes us happy at the end. For crying out loud. You know, we don't do that stuff just to keep a good ritual going on. It's a good ritual for my family. It's a good therapy session. It ain't good. There's a lot better rituals than therapy sessions. You know, before I became a Christian, I used to watch Abbott and Costello on Sunday morning. And I used to watch Columbo. Y'all remember Columbo? Yeah. You gotta be old. It doesn't apply to you. Sorry, young man. You know, watched Abbott and Costello. They had a... Man, I love... They were my favorite. You know, watched cartoons. Sunday morning was great. My mom didn't have to go to work. She would wake up. She would make pancakes. We would watch TV. And then we would, you know, around noonish, you know, we'd head over to my grandmother's house or my grandfather's house. They lived in different places, and we just hang out. Can I tell you something? If you want to just combine ritual to ritual, that's better than this. I'm just telling you my personal opinion. It's better. If Christ isn't alive, if God's not real, you'd be better off just flipping through, watching something funny as your family and cooking and eating and hanging out together. I promise. Man, I miss that. But you know what keeps me going? Is I believe that Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and that changes everything. But if this ain't legit, if you don't believe in Christ, I'm going to tell you, one of two things. Either start believing or stop wasting your time. Because ain't nothing but faith in Christ going to make you right with God anyway. So if you're not right, you might as well go on and do something better. And you might think, John, you're preaching this awful hard. That don't seem to make sense. You telling people not to come to church? No, you can come. Everybody's welcome here. I'm just telling you, if you don't believe in the risen Christ, you are wasting your time. And I'm not saying that just for my opinion. Y'all look over here at verse 32. It says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If the dead are not raised, you might as well be a hedonist. You might as well just live for your own pleasure. You might as well just, because this is it. This little bit of life's all you got. Don't waste it here. Not another breath. But if you believe like I believe that Christ has been risen from the dead, then get on board. And let's proclaim His kingdom until He comes. And let's tell people about His death and His resurrection. And let's live boldly for Christ. Let's not waste time in all the other things, but let's put our investment where it's going to count forever. Because He is alive. He is the Son of God. He is our glorious Savior. He is coming back. Y'all, if it's not real, man, we ain't got to pretend. I think in this part of the country too, it's so powerful a thing that you got to go to church. You got to pretend like you believe this. I'm going to tell you, your pretend belief is no belief at all. Get real with God. If anything, you could say, if this gospel be true, like I'm saying it is, if you can't say anything else about God, He is real and He wants you to be saved, and He's done everything He can do for you to be saved. He's going to be that real with us. We ought to be that real with Him. And if we're not going to be, listen, it says, if Christ hasn't raised, if you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, your faith is futile. Notice how I spread that out? I like that. Usually I say futile, but I want to say futile. Well, how futile is it? He says, he finishes by saying, you're still in your sins. If Christ hasn't risen from the dead, you know, if you read this book, it says we are justified because He was raised from the dead. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we have justification through faith. So without the resurrection of Christ, you don't have justification by faith, which means you are in your sins, which means like a heavy millstone wrapped around your neck in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you're going down. Without Christ being alive to save you and me, we go down. We're going to have to face an angry God without an advocate. We're going to have to be, what if Christ just died for our sins on the cross but never rose from the dead? Can I tell you, judgment day would be bad for us because we would be face to face with the God who is bereaved of His one and perfect Son. You want to meet somebody knowing you're responsible for killing their son, the son that they loved, the son that was perfect? You want to meet God in that light? No, sir. The fact that He is alive from the dead means that we can be justified in the face of God. He is not bereaved of His Son. His Son is at His right hand, vouching for us by the faith we put in Him. Man, that's the good deal. That's the good news. If we don't put our faith in Christ, how futile it would be to think we could be right with God. If Christ isn't alive, then your sins, they're going to be right there with you. Just like your skin. Can't shed it. You're going to be looking right at God. He's going to be looking right at your sin. And you're going to face that judgment alone. If Christ isn't raised from the dead. Y'all, there isn't a lot of good options. It says, those who have died are lost. If Christ hasn't raised from the dead, those who have already gone on, they're lost. Now I don't want to get emotional. But there's a great bit of comfort that comes to the people of God knowing that Christ is alive and that those who we've lost in the faith, that they're not gone, that they're with Him, the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. But what if Christ hasn't risen from the dead? Where are they at? When the Bible says they're lost, what do you reckon that means? Yeah, eternally lost. They're gone. They're lost. If Christ's not raised from the dead, if you don't believe that, then don't you believe any comfort for those that you've let go on. You accept the fact that they're lost. And you'll be as lost as they are if He hadn't raised from the dead. And I would be too. I want to remind you to pray for a friend of our church named Chuck Eason. Tomorrow he'll be having the visitation and then the next day burying his wife, who put her faith in Christ, who had Alzheimer's. You know what I say? I say Christ is risen from the dead. And everybody who puts their faith in Him, they'll be with Him. That's what I say. That's what the gospel says. Isn't that good? But I'm going to tell you, don't allow yourself any false hope. If you don't believe Christ rose from the dead, don't you hide behind mama's in heaven. No, she ain't. You stop it. You be consistent in your thoughts and your philosophy. That's exactly what he's saying here. Be consistent. If you don't believe Christ is risen from the dead, then don't you try to claim any of the benefits of what it means that Christ has been raised from the dead, like being forgiven, like being with Him, being made alive, having purpose and a hope. It says, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, we are most pitiful of all people. We're the most pitiful of all people. I believe it. Sometimes you can look at church folks and know they're pitiful. You just got to look and go, golly. Y'all, ain't not a one of y'all enjoy what you're doing. You know, the life has been sucked out of you with a joy vacuum. You're just like, the face is all, we doing going to church. Why? Because I love it. All right. Man, we're not here. See, this is the other trap we get into. A lot of people say, well, Christianity makes good sense, man. We're trying to sell people on it. It makes good sense. You know, when somebody gets saved, and this is true, a lot of times when people get saved, they start making better money. They start getting better jobs. They start getting better opportunities. Why is that? I'm going to tell you why. It's not based on a philosophy. It's just based on the fact that a lot of people were just sorry folks before they got saved. And now they got saved. They got something living for and they start going up, man. It's called redemption and lift. But Christianity ain't no self-help program. Christianity ain't no philosophy and all this other stuff. Y'all listen. We're not in it just because it makes sense. Well, it just makes sense. It don't make no sense. Stop trying to make it make sense in that way. They're going to say, so you believe a guy born of a virgin who always existed and came into this small podunk country in the middle of nowhere and then he died for our sins and somehow that counts like him dying for my sins and then he rose from the dead and he's sitting in heaven invisibly right now somewhere and he's going to come back and then take over the world? Now look, I believe it. I believe it on faith, baby. I don't got the schematic. But I know this, that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things unseen. And God's given it to me, and I believe Him. But don't try to make it make sense to everybody in the world. They're going to look at you as crazy as I look at them when they say, I go to them. So you believe that there was just a whole bunch of nothing? And then all of a sudden it became something? And then out of a puddle of water, you know, some mud shot up and that mud grew an eye and a leg and it started hobbling around this planet. And then eventually all the other critters in the world were made by it. I'm like, yeah, you high. That don't make no kind of sense. But you know what? Want to know what's weird? They put just as much faith into their system. And that, you know what? I ain't going to try to have a make sense competition with them. But I will have a faith competition because I believe this. The object of my faith, who is an almighty God, is much better than the object of their faith, which is an almighty slime. You got what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you why I'm not the most pitiful person on earth because I believe
I believe because Christ really rose. And if he really rose, that changes everything. I heard a debate where these two really smart people were debating each other. And the one man who didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ said, "Well, I believe that the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ is irrelevant." And the man who was a believer said, "So a man comes to earth and conquers death for everyone who believes, and you think that's irrelevant?" Can I tell you something? Right now, we got folks in our church who are battling cancer in a bad way. We've had folks who have succumbed to cancer, is what we say. But you know, because of what Christ has done, we don't keep it that way. I say, we know people who have won over cancer and gone into their eternal reward. You want to talk about relevant? I don't care what sickness or what devil or what enemy comes after me. I'm going to win because Christ has won. There is nothing more relevant. That's going to happen. Man, I'm going to follow him. Not because I'm good, not even because I wanted to. I like choice. Choice is good stuff, man. When we choose to go this way or that way, I think it's great. I think we ought to exercise choice in what we believe and all those things. But I know this. I'm not saved by my choice. I'm saved by Jesus Christ. It ain't even my right choices. It's He who did the work. It's He who's going to bring me with Him. And it was His plan anyway. I'm not smart enough to even figure out a plan to save me. I had to rely on Him. And He got a way. He found a way. And He's going to save me all the way. Y'all, I'm not going to live in the ghetto of heaven even. I might deserve to be. I'm not going to make it by the skin of my teeth. And if you don't brush every day, you will get skin on your teeth. I'm not going to... Now, I might could be saved by the hair of my chinny chin chin, but anyway. The gates of heaven open wide for everybody who's put their faith in Christ. Listen to how confident the Scripture is. It says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and all in Christ will be made alive." Man, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I don't got to worry about being... I'm not getting there by my effort, my choice, my anything. I'm getting there because God had a plan to save me. And He gave me the faith to believe in Him. He gave me the choice or to choose it. If that's even a word, I feel like now I'm saying things from Dr. Seuss. But if you got a chooser tooser, you better user it. Put your faith in God. You know what I'm saying? But that ain't what saves us. It's He who saves us. And we're made alive in Him. One day, because Christ is alive, everything's going to be brought under the subjection of God. And we're all going to look at God and say, "You are great. And besides you, there is no other." See, I don't know if you realize it, but all this is a plan. The God who created it and started it, He's got a plan for all of us to live with Him. And He's going to be the center of that place. You want to know why we have so much trouble in this fallen world we live in? It's because you want to be a center, and you want to be the center, and you want to be the center, and she wants to be the center, and he wants to be the center, and everybody wants their thing. And we get mad when we don't get it. In heaven, ain't going to be none of that. Even the sun has to step aside. Even the stars go down because there ain't going to be no light in that place except for the light that comes from the one true God. And we all will look to Him and be in awe. We'll all be on the same page because we're going to look at Him and be in awe. Everything's going to be brought under His feet. It's pretty awesome. Three things I want to see just to end. It says, in this last point on the handout, it says, non-factual faith and ministry are hopeless. Non-factual faith and ministry are hopeless. I just bring three kind of points from the text here. It says, why do we endanger ourselves if Christ hasn't risen? If it's not a fact that Christ has risen, why do we waste our time, our energy, and why do we put ourselves in danger? Why do we go on a mission trip? Why would you ever get on an airplane to go tell somebody about somebody who didn't raise from the dead? Why would you do that? You know, recently we had a missionary who was killed. He went into a place where they say, well, hey, he wasn't supposed to go. You know, he'd been requested not to go, and then he went, and they shot him with bows and arrows or something. Why did he put himself in that danger? Why would he risk it? Because he believed that Christ was risen from the dead, and it was worth to take that risk to go. Was it the wisest thing? I'm not here to judge all that, but I'm just here to tell you what his faith, why he would put himself in that kind of situation. Why would you do it? It's because you believe. You believe that it's real. It's based on a fact. I can tell you this. I don't believe people who don't believe, that don't really believe that Christ is risen, they ain't doing ministry anyway. Because why are they going to risk it? They're just taking the analogy that I can do anything that I really want to do, because the analogy of Christ rising from the dead lets me know there's no impossible scenario, so I just kind of keep going and doing my thing. Y'all, that faith ain't on mission anyway. That faith ain't going to risk for you. Not going to risk for the glory of God. Not going to risk their own happiness and their own comfort, because they don't believe anyhow. Well, I know how did the gospel get from Jerusalem to Grenada, Mississippi? You know, there wasn't no straight line. You know what happened? Right here, starting with the Apostle Paul, said a lot of people risked their life to share the gospel over and over and over, from continent to continent, walking, boating, shipwrecked, beaten up, thrown in jail. For what? So you and I would have the same chance to hear about the gospel that came. What? Why? When I was in seminary, we got this news of these missionaries who were in Yemen. They were medical missionaries, and they were killed. They're working in a hospital. They're, as they did their work medically, they also were sharing their faith. You know, so they were providing a service and sharing their faith. Why? Why go to a country that's Muslim where it's not even legal to be out and out about all this stuff? Why risk it? So that the gospel would get into Yemen too, because so those folks would have an opportunity to believe. And there's probably Christians in Yemen today because these people risked their life based on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. And you know what? It wasn't just the power behind them, like, hey, I believe Jesus rose way back then and he's compelling me forward. But because Jesus is alive today, I believe that he led them. He leads us. He's our Lord. Why endanger your life? Why inconvenience yourself if Jesus isn't alive? I think we really wouldn't. Why not just enjoy ourselves? I talked on this earlier. It says, non-factual faith and ministry are hopeless. This is a hopeless statement. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There's a time, I believe, there's been a time in my life, maybe even a time or two, where I've wanted to just quit. Just quit. Not just quit, like, you mean, quit what? Like, quit everything. Quit church, quit pastoring, quit preaching, quit trying to be a husband, quit trying to be a dad, quit trying to be sober, quit trying to be whatever. Where it just is like, you know what? This don't make a whole lot of sense. What's the future? Doesn't seem like I'm getting a lot of reward sometimes from all this stuff. It just seems like I just ought to quit. I can do other things. I'm not real talented. I can't just do a whole lot of other things. I can drive something. I can drive a truck. I can make some money. I can do some stuff. Sometimes I feel like, you know what? It's just, I don't want to hear another soul. I don't want to hear another thing. That statement, let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die, that's the statement of hopelessness. That's the statement of somebody who says, there ain't nothing worth living for. Nothing. Can I tell you? I bet you I'm not the only one in this room who's come face to face with that kind of hopelessness. Can I tell you who gets us through? The fact that Christ is alive. The fact that I have a living Lord and Savior says, come on. It's not just an analogy. It's not just a principle. It's actually like Him saying, come on. Come on. I put on Facebook last week a film from a clip from a preacher preaching about not quitting. And I put on there this saying that God reminds me of often. The only way we lose in Jesus is to quit. That's it. Man, if you just hang in there. You just hang in there with Christ. You ain't going to lose. It might look like you're losing. You might feel like you're losing. But you aren't going to lose in Christ, I promise. Hang in there. Look at the darkness and say, the light will conquer you. You can look into that empty tomb and say, you know what? You're an empty threat. We'll talk more about that next week. About the empty threat of the grave. About the plastic shackles of sin. But we'll talk about that. But I'm going to tell you something. In Christ, we have hope to persevere. Regardless of how we feel or how things look, we ought not ever come to that point of just being absolutely hopeless and saying, I throw it all away and I just don't care. Nah. You know why? Because my Savior, He lives. My Savior lives. And that's this next part. It says, don't be misled. Stop sinning. You know, there's people in the church who had just, they had got into that hopeless case and they just started living however they wanted. And they thought, man, my life don't count. My life's no good. I'm not making a difference. And He says, don't you be misled. And they thought to themselves, well, the dead don't even rise anyway, so what does it matter? I'm going to live however I want. And He says, don't you be misled like that. It does matter. We're part of a body, and every part of the body has a purpose. And when you know you have a purpose, live for it. Don't get sidetracked off here and there. Live for it. Don't be misled. Don't be misled thinking you don't count. If you don't count, you wouldn't be here. You got a purpose. Your purpose to bring glory to God. And there's always this tension to pull us off of that track. But don't you be misled. You look to the living Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm yours. Save me. Help me. Lead me. And you watch. He will. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. And just in the sense of being real with each other about who you are and what you've done. Father, there's always this lying sense of wisdom that says, oh, all that stuff's just spiritual. But would you convince us in our heart of the truth, the factual nature of the resurrection of Christ? And give us boldness. Lord, don't just compel us from behind with the fact historically, but lead us with your presence. Presently, into the future that you'd have for us. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're here today and maybe you've been one of those who comes to church but say, I never really believed that thing about the resurrection. Let me quote you a passage out of the book of Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9. It says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Man, if you need to be saved today, and you say, man, I've waffled, I've been on the fence, I haven't really committed to the fact that Christ is alive, I haven't really trusted Him. If that's you, trust Him today. Trust Him. Don't be misled. If you've given up hope, and you said, man, I've quit, or I'm right on the verge of quitting, would you have a conversation with God today? Would you have a conversation with the God who says, rise from the dead, and they rise from the dead? Man, that means you, your marriage, your finances, your hopes, your dreams. Man, I'm not just talking about your hopes and dreams in the sense of, I'll have everything that I want. I'm talking about coming to understand that you have purpose in this world, in this life. Okay? If that's you, you do business with God today during this song. It's your time.
Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wonder, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow. Heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wonder, come home.
Ushers would come forward for the morning offering. And again, just as a reminder, Christ being alive, y'all, we have no microphone on. It's on. Uh-oh. Can you hear me now? Oh, they can hear me now. We have hope. Not based on a fairy tale or a story, based on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Just don't ever forget. That's why we gather. Man, that's what makes the whole deal worth it. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here together. And Lord, as we do, as we come together, as we give, as we sing, we preach, and we praise, and we do all the things that we do, help us, Lord, remember, it's not in vain. It's not in vain because Christ is risen. And Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come.
Let me pray for us, and then we'll be gone. Hey, and thank you all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Father God, man, thank you for being so good. Thank you for your plan. It's not our plan. We don't have the power or the wisdom to do it, but you have both, and you have the will to do it, and you save us by your goodness. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work through Christ Community Church. Thanks for those who were willing to come and be embarrassed like this. But Lord, just continue to do your work, not just here, but everywhere. Keep inspiring, keep moving, keep, Lord Jesus, keep leading your people. We love you and we need you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.